And he is a deceiver. That's what the Bible says is. He's a deceiver. And God gives us free will and the ability to control our own destiny. God gave us a free will. He just didn't give us a will and say, well, I'm going to control your will. No, he gave us a free will. You can sin if you want. You can go ahead and go to hell if you want. Because he's given you a free will, and you are the one that can decide your own destiny.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 39 says, "And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word and to those who are the hearers and doers. First six words of the text, "And he went a little farther." My brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you to go a little farther. There are things in our lives that we must press and push through in order to get to our breakthrough. There are blessings and benefits just beyond the break, just beyond our reach, just beyond our grasp. But many of us will not obtain them because we don't know how to go a little farther. This word is such a rich word. It's helpful because Jesus gives us in these verses an understanding of his personal sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane while he was preparing for spiritual battle, while he was getting ready for the assignment he had been sent to earth to complete. In verse 36 through verses 46, those 11 verses reveal much about what Jesus did in preparation for this battle that he was going through. And one of the things that I think is so helpful for us is to understand that everything that was written in the Word, the Bible said, was written for our learning as an example for us. Why? So that we will know how to take the principles and practice those same principles and reap the same profit. In other words, what God is showing us through the written word, once we take those principles and practice them, they become the living word. The expectation of that word is that God will do again what he has already done. God will do again what he has done before if we are willing to do with those who have done it before us have done. And so it's important to understand that Jesus is giving us a prime example of dealing with spiritual warfare, preparing yourself for spiritual battle, and how to handle these things. One of the things that you're going to note, my brothers and sisters, is he says, or the text says, and he went a little farther. Now, how did he go a little farther? First, he went a little farther logistically. Logistically. But what does that mean? Strategically, he had 11 disciples with him. The 12th disciple, Judas, left from the Last Supper and went quickly to tell all those who were in cahoots against Jesus to get ready, because Jesus was on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, whatever you have to do, go and do it quickly. Judas left to betray Jesus. So after the supper was over, they left out and sung a hymn, and they ended up in the 36th verse at the Garden of Gethsemane. He leaves 8 of those disciples at the entrance. Then he takes Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and he brings them in closer for a close encounter of the spiritual kind. But they were not unfamiliar with the closeness of the spiritual kind, because Matthew 17 chapter says Jesus brought them up the Mount of Transfiguration with him when he met with Moses and Elijah to discuss the Calvary experience. He met with Moses, the great lawgiver, and with Elijah, the great prophet. And he was bringing, listen, the fulfillment of the law for Moses and eclipsing Elijah as the great prophet. And so when you recognize that Peter, James, and John were there, and they got so excited, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles, 3 churches, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. God split the heavens and spoke, said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter was trying to build a worship service center for him on the mountaintop. And Jesus was trying to tell him, no, I'm winning souls for eternity. We can't stay here. And then, of course, you know what happened. They go to the bottom of the mountain, and a man brings his lunatic son and recognizes that those disciples could not heal him. Those are the ones he left at the entrance. He brings Peter, James, and John a little closer because they were intimates who were able to endure a little more. They were a little more mature. Now, and then he went about a stone's throw away from them. He went a little farther. So logistically, look at how he placed this thing, and look at what it says to us today, that there are some places that everybody who's in your circle now won't be able to go with you. That there are some people connected with you now where you are destined to go, they cannot go. It is clear that the 8 he left at the entrance weren't able to handle the things that he needed them to be able to handle for this experience. And the 3 that he took that were intimates, Peter, James, and John, were more mature than they who were left, but they still were not able to endure the experience themselves. That's why only twice Jesus asks them to watch with him. But the second time he asked them to watch with him is in the 41st verse, and he adds to that this time, watch and pray. Now, incidentally, he didn't say watch, fight, and pray. Like some of the old saints say, not in this part. He didn't say that. He said watch and pray. This is why, that ye enter not into temptation. Here's what he explains to them. The spirit indeed is willing. Listen, but the flesh is weak. Now listen at this now. He says this to them in the 40th verse. He finds them sleeping, and he says this in the 41st verse rather. He finds them sleeping in the 40th verse. He finds them sleeping again in the 43rd verse. And he finds them sleeping again in the 45th verse. By that time, he tells them, sleep on. Take your rest. Now, here's what Jesus recognized. That the spiritual stress and strain was too much of a struggle for them. And so their bodies were so tired and exhausted under the stress that they went to sleep. I understand better now why on Sunday morning, on some of the pews in the church, that somebody sitting next to you can't handle the stress. And they nod off because the enemy rocks them to sleep like a baby. Because they're not prayed up and watchful for what God is doing in the spirit, to hear what God is saying in the spirit. They just came to church and the devil rocked them on to sleep. But if they hear something like, I'm getting ready to close now. Hello. And then they wake up. But that, listen. They don't understand. The enemy's desire is to keep them from knowing the word of God and operating in that word. And so they could not handle the pressure of the spiritual attack from the enemy. Jesus said, all I want you to do is watch and pray. He listen to this. He never told them to pray for him. He told them to pray for themselves. And they couldn't even do it. So he went a little farther logistically. But secondly, He went a little farther, literally. Because the Bible says, and fell on his face and prayed. So he went farther than them, literally, not just logistically in terms of distance, but in the physical and the spiritual realm, he went further than them as well. Why? Because he knew what was up ahead. He knew what was at stake. At the beginning, when they entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus felt a great sorrow underneath the skin. And when he began to feel sorrowful and heavy, that was a spiritual attack against him. Then in the next verse, it says he felt so sorrowful, even unto death. Now, what's important, his soul, the word says, his soul. That word comes from the Hebrew word psyche, which is the word we also get breath, which means that the very breath in him seemed like it was leaving him. That is the breath of life, that animated part that gives life to the body. It felt like he was so heavy and burdened that he felt like he was about to die. Why? Because he sensed the army of the enemy closing in on him. Here's what he knew. The devil tried many times before and even then to kill him before he got to Calvary and to the cross, to spoil the plan of God so that the plan of redemption for man would not be so. If he could kill Jesus before he got to Calvary, mankind would end up in hell. And Jesus sensed this warfare and sensed the enemy trying to take him out before Calvary. And that's one of the reasons why he had to stay focused and go where he went by himself. That reaches a time, my brothers and sisters, there are some things and some battles you're going to have to fight. Nobody can fight them with you. You're going to have to fight them by yourself. And you're going to need to know what to do to fight them by yourself. You try everything and everybody, call on everybody, but they can't help you because there are just some things you're going to have to walk alone in. And so physically, he bowed his face to the earth farther than any man. Spiritually, the word says, and prayed. Because Jesus knew what was important to not only the assignment, but to his anointing, and that was to stay in the will of God. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing more the devil desires than to take you out of the will of God. Your blessings stop flowing when the devil takes you out of the will of God. Your fellowship stops flowing when he takes you out of the fellowship. Everything that's meant to be for the connected Christian to the Creator ceases to be when you are out of the will of God. And if Satan can take you out of the will of God, you can come to church every Sunday. You can serve on whatever board you want to be on, in whatever ministry you're in, singing from the choir, even preaching from the pulpit. If you're out of the will, you're disconnected. And all you are is one going through the motions because the power ain't there. Simply going through the motions. No joy. No peace. No happiness. No strength. No power. Because you're disconnected from the will of God. You come, but you're not touched because you're not connected. And so you want to be entertained. And if you're not entertained, then you seek to go where you can get some entertainment at. You can't be alone because the loneliness is a burden more than you can bear. You can't stand to have it quiet because you can't. The thoughts that are running through your head are so powerful against you that you got to blast the music so much so that it almost blows your eardrums out. You're so impatient, you can't stop at a stop sign. You got to run. All of the restlessness underneath the skin is because you are out of the will of God. And Jesus knew that. And he prayed in the spirit and went farther to make sure he was connected to the will of God. And then the last thing I want to tell you, he went farther lovingly. Listen at his prayer language to the Father. Oh, my Father. if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, listen at this now. He says, this cup, speaking of the Calvary experience, because he knew three things had to happen because of the Calvary experience. One, he had to shed blood. Two, he had to die. Three, God had to raise him from the dead. Now, he was saying, God, my father, just like Isaac said to Abraham when he went up that mountain and he saw all of the things except the sacrifice. And his father Abraham had to tell him, God will provide himself a lamb. And this was the lamb that Abraham was talking about. And for Abraham's sacrifice, he gave him a ram. And so when you understand the reality of what Jesus is asking the Father is, if there's an update on an optional plan where I can shed blood, die, and be resurrected without having to go through all of this that is represented in the cup, what's in the cup? Every sin, darkness, evil, damnation, condemnation, every sickness, every disease, everything that man needed to be redeemed from was in the cup. It was a bitter poison that Jesus had to drink from. And he said, if there's any other way, I'm open for options. But then he uses this transitional phrase, nevertheless. Listen at the loving language that he says all of this in. One, because he's humbled before God. But two, it's because he honors his heavenly Father. He honors him. He has always done what pleases his Father, and he does not want to now displease him. And so he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And my brothers and sisters, may I say to you that in that single statement, he made clear that he was willing to go farther than he was at that point. And he did go farther, because if he had not, it would have ended in Gethsemane. But the record is clear that he went on to Calvary. And I'm glad to report that it didn't stop at Calvary. It was paused to be continued at Calvary. Because when he went up to Calvary and he let mean men drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet and pierce him in his side, it was all because he knew he had reached the point of his appointed time, and he wanted to fulfill his assignment that none other could do. And he knew that the story would not end at his death. But bless the Lord, when he died, the enemy started his party. He didn't even wait. He rejoiced and got excited and got happy that Jesus was dead. But what he didn't know was Jesus was not dead. But his soul went down to hell. And during the transition, when he went down to hell, the angels reached him the keys from heaven that gave him the ability to open up every cell, to unlock everything, to do diligence of what his Father wanted him to do. And so with the kingdom keys, he unlocked every jail cell, of every saint who had died waiting for his coming. And it took him 3 days to unlock every cell. But the Bible says early, yeah, Sunday morning, y'all know what happened. He got up out of the grave with all power. And he said, listen, I've got another parade. And he led those who were held captive and who were dead up out of the grave. And they marched him through the city on the way to Calvary. But Sunday morning from the graveyard, he rose and brought the saints from the dead who were waiting on him back down the streets of Jerusalem. I'm trying to tell you, if you go a little further, God will take care of you. What the devil did one way, God can reverse it and turn it another way. If you trust him for one thing, trust him for all, and he'll make a way out of no way. Is there anybody here who knows my Jesus? Say yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, know that God wants you to be the bigger person, the better person, the wiser person, the stronger person, the person who trusts him, who believes his word, who does what he say, do, who will believe the outcome will be as he said it will be. If God is speaking by his spirit to you, calling you today, would you come? Come because he's calling you. Not because I said come, but because he said come. He knows what tomorrow holds. He knows what's in your future. He knows what the enemy's plans are against you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your rights, your wrongs, your ups, your downs, your messes, your mishaps. He knows it. And yet he loves you and calls you to repentance. Just as you are. No matter who you are, what you've done, just as you are, come.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT.